But when you wake up, it's gone. I'm just being real with you. So now put that back on the screen for a minute. We're going to move along. We're going to move along. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:25. I said it right this time, didn't I? Yeah. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing what? Iron sharpens iron. I need you. You need me. I need to see your face. I need to shake your hand. Or I might need a hug. I might need a word of encouragement. Or I might can encourage you. I might can say something that's going to bless your life. Or God might want me to do something for you. God might want me to go on my hip and bless you with something. Now, it's easy to say at house, I know Sister such and such, she's got a need, and you know, if I was at church tonight, I'd bless her. But since I'm not there, I can't. We are to exhort one another. And the last part of this verse says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Anybody know what day that is? The day of the Lord, the day of the coming of the Lord, the day of his catching away the saints of God. Amen. So now, I didn't intend to go there, but why did I go there? It fits right in to what I'm about to go to for a little while anyway. Jesus has something to say to the churches, to the assembly. There's some things, I said it earlier, there's some things we can get in the assembly that we can't get by ourselves. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Praise the name of the Lord. So now having said all of that, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll begin with a very popular verse. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let the men say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by what? By the word. Hallelujah. Now listen. These verses are comparing the husband with Christ Jesus, okay? The husband is to love his wife. He is to love his wife. Amen. He's to love his wife. As Christ does what? Love the church. I want you to understand something. Listen to me. Jesus Christ loves the church. Amen. He loves the church. And he wants to sanctify it and cleanse it with the water with the washing of water by the word. Not only do we come to church to fellowship with one another, but we come to hear his word, to get washed. Amen. 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Hallelujah. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And us husbands, we husbands, are told to be like Christ when it comes to our wives, to treat our wives the same way Christ treats his church. Amen. And I want to tell you something that now, you know, I'm not ministering on marriage tonight, but I tell you one thing, the family is in a mess outside the church and in the church. Let me say that again, outside the church and in the church. And I want to say this since I'm on this subject. If we know Jesus, if both of us know Jesus, Kathy and I both, we are born again, spirit-filled believers. Hear me good. We're born again, spirit-filled believers. There is no reason we shouldn't be able to get along. I'm not saying we agree on everything. We don't. I said we don't. She got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. She got the Word of God. I got the Word of God. So what's the problem? And I understand sometimes, you know, you maybe had a long day, had a, you know, and you're tired or whatever, or got something on your mind, and you know, those things happen. But that's not grounds for divorce or separation, is it? That's when one of you need to tell the other one, go take you a nap. You'll be all right. Go take a nap. I'll be all right. You go ahead and take yourself a nap. Amen. Sometimes we need a nap, don't we? Sometimes we grown-ups are just like babies. You know how babies get cranky when they need a nap? Sometimes grown-ups do too, get cranky when they need a nap. I think I'm going to stand over here because this is my amen corner. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of y'all. I'm messing with you now. I'm playing with you. But it's the truth, isn't it? But then again, that's not, you know, an excuse to fight, to hurt one another's feelings. Amen. All righty. So I got off on that anyway, didn't I? Stay with me a few more minutes. I want to share something with you. So the point I'm making here, Jesus Christ loves his church. He loves his church. Praise God. Now, what I'm about to read to you applies to us as individuals, but it also applies to us collectively as a church. And that's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I want to read verse 17. Listen at what it says. Well, I'll begin at verse 15. Now this is in the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesus actually is the first church that Jesus spoke to that's recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. But it says here that, let me back up to verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you, who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You with me on that? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what we should be doing individually and as a church. Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yes, we know we need to know what the will of God is in our individual lives, but you know what? We need to know what God wants to do with us as a church collectively. Hallelujah. We need to understand what God wants. We have a vision here for this ministry, and many of you have a copy of it, probably about all of you have a copy of it. But as we move along, we need to know what is God doing here at Word of Life, and we need to jump in and be a part of that. Because it's not about us, it's all about Him. It's not about us, it's all about what He wants. Hallelujah. And we need to be wise and collectively understand what the will of the Lord is for us. And we won't go into all of it tonight, but on top of the list is winning souls, reaching the lost. Hallelujah. That's on top of the list. Reaching the lost. I was reading an article last night before I went to bed about hell. And the writer was talking about how that in some churches they don't talk about hell anymore because they don't want to offend anybody. But I'm here to tell you hell is real. Hell is eternal. And me trying to tickle your flesh is not going to change a thing. I'm committed to tell you the truth. Even if you decide to take your dollars and walk out the door and don't come back, I hope you won't do that. But sometimes some pastors are concerned that they'll lose their donors if they tell them the truth. Sin is sin. If it goes contrary to what the Bible says, God is not pleased with it, and you need to repent. Y'all listening to me? You need to repent. You need to repent. God, this world system is constantly changing. God has not changed. He is still God. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. Heaven is still sweet and eternal. Hell is still hot and eternal. And the simple fact of the matter, if you're not born again, when you leave here, you're going to hell. The Bible says it. And I believe the Bible. And folk need to know that. Folk need to know. Well, I tell you what, preacher, but I God is a good God, so I believe he'll give me a second chance. No, this is your chance. This is your chance. You better get it right now. You better get it together now. You better commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ now. And this was an excellent article that I was reading, and it was talking somewhat about the last day church, but not just the last day church. It's been going on for a long time, how the Word of God is watered down just to make people happy. I don't know what's going to be going on around the judgment seat of Christ, because that's where the born-again believers would be, at the judgment seat of Christ. The unbelievers would be at the white throne judgment. Now, this one thing I do know, I am a pastor, and I speak into the lives of people. Those of you seated here this evening, you are hearing what I have to say. Those that are watching the recording or live stream, whatever, you are hearing what I have to say. Now, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to see your face. I want to see your face. Understand that. Let me rephrase it. I don't want to be lacking in anything when I see you on the other side. Pastor, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me that? Pastor, if you had told me, I would have received. Now, I'm talking about saved people now. Pastor, I would have gotten a greater reward if only I had known. Oh, what about the other side of it? White throne judgment. Now, we're not going to be judged there. Dear God, I don't want anybody that's on their way to hell, on their way to the lake of fire, to tell the Lord or look over at me. We might be standing behind Jesus. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't want them to look up at me with tears in their eyes and say, why didn't you tell me the truth? Oh, my God. What is it? Ezekiel talks about the blood being on our hands. My God, I don't want nobody's blood on my hands simply because I intentionally kept them from the truth, didn't tell them the truth. I've settled the issue. Folk gonna get mad at you. Folk gonna walk out on you. I've settled the issue. I cannot please everybody. So I've decided to love everybody and please God. Amen. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it. My decision is to love everybody and please God. If you get mad at me for telling you the truth, that's between you and God. But I love you anyway. That's a decision that I have to make, that I love you anyway. Amen. Glory be to God. It's powerful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I probably used up all my time. I meant to I meant to take you on over to Revelation chapter 2, but I'm just about to close, but I am going to take you to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. And remember, I said Jesus loves his church, right? Revelation 1. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Notice he said seven churches. How many of you know there were more than seven Christians in Asia? So he's talking about assemblies here. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now we could stop right there and rejoice a while, couldn't we? Hallelujah. That's the great I am. And from the seven spirits or sevenfold spirits who are before his throne. Amen. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who what? What? He loved us. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll read one more verse here. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And let the church say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus loves his church, and he has something to say to his church. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. And we are going to stop right there for tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much. Lord Jesus, we thank you.